A reading from the book of Numbers. When Balaam raised his eyes and saw Israel encamped tribe by tribe, the Spirit of God came upon him, and he gave voice to his oracle, the utterance of Balaam, son of Beor, the utterance of the man whose eye is true, the utterance of one who hears what God says, and knows what the Most High knows, of one who sees what the Almighty sees, enraptured and with eyes unveiled. How goodly are your tents, O Jacob, your encampments, O Israel. They are like gardens beside a stream, like the cedars planted by the Lord. His wells shall yield free-flowing waters. He shall have the sea within reach. His king shall rise higher, and his royalty shall be exalted. Then Balaam again gave voice to his oracle, the utterance of Balaam, son of Beor, the utterance of the man whose eye is true, the utterance of one who hears what God says and knows what the Most High knows, of one who sees what the Almighty sees, enraptured and with eyes unveiled. I see him, though not now. I behold him, though not near. A star shall advance from Jacob, and a staff shall rise from Israel. The word of the Lord. It's not often during the liturgical year that we have a reading from the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers tells the story of the continual wandering of the Israelites in the wilderness. In that sense, it is somewhat fitting for Advent, although we might think of it more often in relationship to Lent, the wandering in the wilderness, as really a time of preparation for entering the land of promise, or even Jesus' wilderness experience as a preparation for that which lay ahead. And in that sense, Advent does emerge as that time of preparation. Why, however, the Church gives us this text during this season of Advent is most probable because it's there as a possible messianic interpretation. We have here a prophet, Balaam, not Israelite, but nevertheless like the prophets of Israel, although we don't think of him in that way, maybe more of a diviner or a soothsayer, but clearly someone respected by the king of the Moabites. And so Balaam is invited to prophesy by the king against the Israelites so that they do not defeat the Moabites. But what we have here is Balaam envisioning a star advancing from Jacob. In other words, the success of Israel. And this star, I see him, though not now, behold him, though not near, may refer down the road to the house of David. But clearly, as time goes on, within New Testament times, one could look back and see, is this already an anticipation of the Messiah? And thus again, clearly an Advent motif. Clearly already there in the history of Israel, in the Old Testament, anticipations of what we too are waiting for as we celebrate the Christmas season. But I would like to suggest another aspect of this text, because Balaam is such a paradoxical figure, depending upon what one knows about him, and he's not someone that I've ever given that much thought to myself. In our text today from the book of Numbers, we have a series, really two in our reading today, but there are a series of prophecies in which King Balak, the king of the Moabites, invites Balaam to come and speak and prophesy against the Israelites because already that king Balak has seen how Sihon, the king of the Amorites, Og, the king of Bashan, all those have been defeated, and now his Moabites are also threatened with the large army military arrangement around Moab as they prepare to enter the land of promise. And so he asks the prophet Balaam to prophesy against Israel, which in fact, in our text today, Balaam does. And thus he looks like a wise, good. He speaks clearly about the fact that he cannot speak a word that Yahweh does not give to him, that he is faithful to Yahweh. And thus, undoubtedly, King Balak will be disappointed, upset with what he has to say. But later in the book of Numbers, and even elsewhere in the scriptures, such as even in the book of Revelation in the New Testament, it seems as if at a later time, although Balaam was not able to do what King Balak had asked, namely prophesy against Israel, yet desiring some of the gifts that King Balak had offered, he later went and explained to the king how he could get the Israelites themselves to curse themselves. He, Balaam, couldn't do it. He could only speak what word Yahweh gave him, that in that sense his tongue was tied by Yahweh, but he said that one could seduce the Israelites with women, gifts, false idols, and thus this would weaken their strength and they could be defeated. This makes Balaam look like a traitor, duplicitous, a fraud. Which Balaam is it? Well, during this season of Advent, what I want to suggest, even though it may not be the primary reason why the church has given us this text from the book of Numbers, is for us to see ourselves, for me to see myself as a lot like Balaam. In other words, a paradoxical figure, one who gives his life, we give our lives to the Lord. We promise ourselves, we follow faithfully, we prepare for the path ahead, the entry into the promised land, but yet we too go astray. We fall by the wayside. We too become duplicitous. And thus it is precisely appropriate in this season of Advent for us to take stock of our own journey and have we wandered from the path. What most people know about Balaam is that as he was going with the servants sent by King Balak of the Moabites to join him, that he did see the angel of the Lord in the road wanting to stop him. It was only his donkey, his ass, who saw. So sometimes Balaam was faithful to Yahweh. Sometimes he didn't see clearly. So likewise, we too can be a lot like Balaam. We follow the Lord. We are faithful to the call. We do what the Lord asks. But sometimes we don't see clearly, and we too go astray. And so Advent is a time to take a look at ourselves, to examine ourselves, and prepare again the way of the Lord, to return to that path so that we are led to being aware of Christ coming at Christmas into a heart made pure.